Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's Monday, just gone 5 minutes after 10. My name is Nicholas Ingle. You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. We've got a fantastic show for you today, really appropriate for this time of year. And I've got an amazing guest back in studio. Finally, been waiting to chat with David Kahn, dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield. It's great to have you back, Dave.
Hi, Nick. It's great to be back as well. Looking forward to getting ready for the holiday season ahead.
Absolutely. Holidays are coming, and we've got some really important topics. We're going to be touching on the abuse of over-the-counter medication, and that's everything from painkillers, pain meds, to eye drops, things that you need to look out for yourself, for a loved one. And one of the things that we'll be focusing on towards the end of the show, so please do stay with us, is the abuse of some of the drugs that are being used for nefarious purposes, particularly for young kids traveling in away in nightclubs, in bars, to take advantage of them, to render them incoherent and unable to protect themselves, as well as the abuse really of misuse leading to abuse
yes,
of some drugs. So maybe stuff even you might want to even be watching out for yourself. So let us have your questions on our WhatsApp number 0618951019, and we'll do our best to get David to answer them for you.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's just gone 9 minutes after 10, Monday morning, and it's the 11th of November. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show with myself, Nicholas Ingle, our fantastic controller, Craig Guthrie, as Benji says, pushing all the right buttons. And I'm joined in studio by one of my favorite guests. Might say my favorite. I don't want to get the other guests upset. But David Kahn, dispensary manager from Linksfield. Welcome back, Dave. It's good to have you.
Thank you again. It's been a bit too long. Yeah. Glad to be back.
Too long, but for good reasons. I suppose I've been busy, which is great. So we're going to chat about abuse of over-the-counter medication. We're also going to touch on immunization for travel and for vacation, things that people need to look at if they're going away overseas, even around the country, what into Africa, what do they need to look at? Let's start off with, firstly, what is over-the-counter medication?
Over-the-counter medication is anything that is scheduled one or scheduled two. And we have to include some of the natural products that are kept in the front of the store as well, which can be abused. And a certain percentage of our population will always find something to misuse or abuse. So as pharmacists, being the gatekeepers of the medicine chest, we have to be alert and aware and look out for any signs of abuse and misuse.
Okay.
Frequency of purchasing, behavioral changes of customers. It's always something that's on the radar screen.
Right.
We can't police everything. People do slip through the cracks. Mm-hmm. There's always opportunity to shop in various outlets, different chains, private pharmacies. So we can't monitor people 24/7, but we can educate if we know what we see is wrong.
Right. And so, speaking as an alcoholic myself, not you, you're a running addict or a fitness addict and a home repair addict.
Correct.
So, when I was drinking, I would justify my behavior to myself, such as, you know, I didn't, for me it was alcohol, but I could well understand, okay, it says 2 tablets every 4 hours. Yeah, but I'm a big person, or my headache's really bad. I'm going to take 4 every 2 hours. That we can justify this to ourselves. And they say, you know, the system's just in my way. My pharmacist is telling me no, so I can try another pharmacy. We can try all of these things to make sure that we're getting the medication. What should people be looking out for in their own behavior? How important are those limits of 1 every 2 to 4 hours, those, you know, with the recommendations?
Obviously, there's a marginal safety built into the required dosing, the recommended dosing. And normally your self-medications are meant to be limited to 5 to 10 days of use prior to consulting up the chain. Or being referred. A lot of people don't. So you might consider one of the proton pump inhibitors, which is used for indigestion, your Nexiums, Topsols, etc. Those have filtered into the over-the-counter availability. They became Schedule 2 indication to treat indigestion.
Right.
A lot of people have chronic reflux conditions, or they might have an ulcer, and they don't need to get a prescription. They can buy 14 capsules every 2 weeks.
Right.
However, they're unaware that perhaps they've got an ulcer and they've got a very nasty bacterial infection called Helicobacter pylori, which can lead to gastric cancers if not cured.
Right.
You've got a festering ulcer with an infection, and they're treating the symptoms. They're just putting the fire out all the time without going and having a scope and getting the right antibiotics prescribed in combination with the proton pump inhibitor.
Right.
To cure their problem once and for all. And then possibly a little bit of maintenance to control acid production.
Okay.
Okay. But there's nothing euphoric about that. That's a economic reason that people are misusing that drug.
They don't want to have to pay for the doctor.
Yeah, and the scope. And
okay.
You could say the same for gout. A lot of people have flare-ups of gout, and they come in for the quick fix, the anti-inflammatory and the gout cocktail, which masks the symptoms. Meanwhile, they've got a buildup of uric acid in their bodies, which is affecting and grinding away. Those crystals are affecting every single joint in the body. And the control of gout, besides being dietary, can be medicated chronically and very affordably.
Right.
But people just want that quick fix.
The quick fix.
Yeah.
So I think from our discussion, what I understand is if you're using the medication, the drugs, past their recommended term or to the point of their recommended term, refer up.
Yes.
Go and see a doctor or a specialist.
Yes.
Okay. Or even speak to your pharmacist. Yeah.
Correct.
That's it. Yeah. How important is it, and it might be a bit of a silly question, but how important is it to build a relationship with your pharmacist? Let's say you're not looking to abuse the drugs. It's something, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'll just take this. It makes me feel better. Fine, I have to take it all the time. But, you know, what should the people be asking the pharmacist, and how important is that relationship in a patient's overall well-being?
It is important. Being the gatekeeper to the medicine chest, we should be alert and aware of the multitude of drugs that one particular patient might be consuming. So we're alert for potential interactions and the abuse, and know when to refer.
Right.
Yeah.
So build that relationship.
Okay. And even in corporate pharmacy, it is possible to build that relationship.
Yeah.
We have amazing relationships with a lot of our patients, stroke customers.
Yes.
Don't like to call them consumers.
Yeah. No, the customers, absolutely. That's the one thing I know with the disc. Usually, you may be queuing slightly longer than you would want to, but when you get to the pharmacist, you're also having a huck as well. So it's a great catch-up and a bit of time. There is that personal relationship, which is really valuable.
It is.
Right, absolutely. To have a familiar face on the other side.
Yes.
What are some of the other drugs that we are seeing that people are abusing?
nasal sprays.
Or misusing, sorry, yeah.
Nasal sprays. That's something that can lead to dependence. Your painkillers.
Yes.
Particularly the codeine-based painkillers.
Okay.
Name brands like Genpain, Miprodol, Dolorol,
right.
Forte. They can lead to abuse.
Okay.
And as one urologist once said in a academic event I attended, he labels any potential migraine sufferer as a codeine addict until proven innocent.
Okay.
Because codeine can lead to a rebound headache situation.
Ah.
So we're taking codeine unnecessarily to treat a headache when we could just be taking paracetamol or a combination of paracetamol and ibuprofen, and suddenly we're having that rebound effect.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So these are the things to watch out for.
Yes.
We have a question from Carol, which I'll get to, and I just wanted to touch on what are the steps for the pharmacist if they suspect someone is misusing or abusing?
Our options are to directly confront in a compassionate way and to encourage reducing consumption. And if that does not work, we can refuse to supply. Okay. And unfortunately, in those instances, we can just drive people away. So that's the sad possible reality of it. However, there are many instances where we do turn people around, and they are ultimately grateful when we do.
Yes, because once you have a clearer reality of what's going on, the chemicals are out of your system,
yes,
and then you can realize and be very grateful for that.
Yeah.
And it does come back to the point of if your pharmacist is speaking to you about the concern that you may be abusing or misusing the medication, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yes.
If your pharmacist is turning you away, there is a serious problem. And the problem lies in the use of the medication or the drugs, not with the pharmacist or the pharmacy. And this is something that one needs to look at very, very carefully. So we're going to read Carol's question and then go quickly to our ads and live read. And we'll answer that when we're back. So it says, Nicholas, please ask David when, in capital letters, will Bentazole N be available? I heard it had been brought by another company. Nowhere can one get it for months now. Lots of capitals. So if we can get back to that question after the ad break, we'll appreciate it.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday with myself, Nicholas Ingle. I'm joined in studio by Linksfield's Dis-Chem Pharmacy's dispensary manager, David Kahn. We're chatting about the abuse of over-the-counter medication. Let us have your questions or comments on 061-895-1019. That's our in-studio WhatsApp number. David, just before we went to the break, we were answering Carol's question.
Yes, Carol's question, Betnasol and Betnasol N nose drops have been very erratic in supply over the last decade, actually.
Right.
However, there's always an alternative. Betnasol N is a combination of a cortisone, a steroid, plus an antibiotic called neomycin. So what is readily available is a product called FML Neo, which employs the same antibiotic, however, a slightly different steroid, which ultimately gives you the same result. They're competing products. And FML Neo is currently available. It has also had periods of being load shed.
Right, yes, load shed. Fair enough.
It's not something that anybody should really be requiring chronically.
Yes.
And there are alternatives. There's antibiotic creams that can be used in the nose.
Okay.
It's very commonly prescribed in combination with decongestant called Iliaden.
Right.
Particularly in pediatrics. I don't really know how strongly effective it is, but the proof is in the amount that we seem to sell.
So, fair enough. Just on that point, before we go back to over-the-counter medication, some of the best advice and most life-changing advice I ever received with regards to dealing with my nose and my sinuses was from you, in terms of if your nose is blocked and dry, you probably potentially dehydrated. And if I, before I go to bed, if my nose is blocked and dry, I drink water and I haven't had any sinus issues since then. I keep my nose runny effectively so I can rinse out all of those infections. Lovely topic to be discussing. But in reality, it's made a huge difference. And over winter, having a humidifier has made, I wake up in the morning, I can breathe. And I think so, I'm able to breathe so easily at night. Much better quality sleep, better days, better nights. It's been a game changer.
Particularly in this altitude.
Yeah.
With our dry climate.
It's been fantastic. Yes. So thank you for that. So just, and again, that, I suppose that fits right into what we're discussing. Don't look at living with the medication past what you should be doing. Look at alternatives that don't impact negatively on your lifestyle, on your correct quality of life and your health.
Yes. So, paracetamol is the most common and a very effective painkiller.
Yes.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that part of its mechanism of action is it actually activates cannabis receivers, the actual receptors in the brain.
Sure.
So it works at a very similar level to cannabis, and that can affect people. Certain people are more susceptible to that effect as well.
Right.
So it isn't commonly abused, but it is commonly abused in drugs of combination.
Okay.
Like your codeine containing products.
So yes, for me, that's the fever or a little bit cold shivers at night, Panado, or there's the name brand for a day or two, and that really, yes, I find helps, yes, as well.
Yeah.
Is there effect on the body, the less medication you take on a regular basis, the more effective it can be, where sort of we build up tolerances to certain medication?
I don't think,
or is that a myth?
I think that's more a myth. Mm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not would a be hit. With your
it's a myth.
Your,
sorry.
Your it's not a hit, it's a myth.
Yeah.
your nasal decongestants are stimulants, yes, and they can lead to resistance as such, and the dependence is that people ultimately require more and more to get the same effect.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've touched on sort of the painkillers, and if you are going over the recommended usage time, you need to contact a medical professional. You need to escalate it to your doctor or your specialist and so on. What are some of the other medications that are being abused? I know we touched on eye drops as something we can chat a little bit about that.
Yes. Other medications would be your sleeping drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few antihistamines that are used for their sedative side effect.
Right.
There is a fair amount of abuse of that. I don't know what people do in the rest of the world with regards to insomnia, but South Africans seem to be habitual insomniacs.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear stories coming out of people visiting from Australia that they will only ever be given a prescription for 5 days' supply of a Schedule 5 sleeping drug equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in South Africa, we have people on those drugs for years.
Wow.
And it's a huge sector in our population that are being abusing those, not wanting to make the lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them actually, if they're struggling with those drugs, they'll add on the antihistamines to try and get a better sleep.
Sure.
So.
And the sense around that, I would think, is, well, I need my sleep so I can function better during the day, so don't tell me what to do.
Yes.
Type of thing.
Yes.
Right.
So it's those antihistamines, and then sometimes as antihistamines they end up being abused as well for that reason. Those drugs are also commonly found in your cold and flu remedies, antihistamines, decongestants. So they are potential catalysts for mm-hmm. abuse.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think if you're researching as a patient, you know, what drug, what medications contain certain drugs, you know, to see, okay, well, I can't get that, I can get this, I can understand that there may be a problem that you need to deal with quite seriously, because it is something that can affect your long-term health.
Yes.
Your mental health, your physical health.
Correct.
And it is something that can be dealt with and rectified over time.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Another category will be laxatives, mm-hmm. Bisacodyl and Senna.
Right.
Particularly so people who are into weight loss, they can use that to try and purge themselves constantly.
Sure.
And that opens up a whole can of health issue worms as well.
Right.
Yeah. The muscle relaxants as well. We've got Robaxin, Norflex Co. Those are all at higher levels can be euphoric.
Okay.
So we've had the odd instance where we've had abuse in those categories as well.
Right. And that for when you're coming across this, it's confront the patient, the customer, in a compassionate, professional way, and try to help them understand where they are.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any sort of that are now currently of a major concern? Using an increase or an escalation, sort of with the weight loss, we seem to be.
Well, in our store, we seem to be well controlled.
Okay.
But every now and then there will be flare-ups. And as a runner, one of my observations is the amount of Bronchi's compound bottles littering the streets.
Okay.
In particular areas near precincts to certain pharmacies.
Right.
And that's a red flag. So if you don't control it, it becomes your problem.
Right. And becomes the neighborhood problem.
Becomes the neighborhood problem, yes. Yeah.
You know, and I think where we speak of drugs that are euphoric, there's a lot of abuse even of, of the prescription medication, but of these meds where you're not actually able to function at the level that you need to. You know, do not drive, do not operate heavy machinery, but people are getting in their cars. They're fetching their kids from school.
Yes.
You know, they are on an awareness level and a functioning level that they should not be driving and getting into cars and operating and living their lives. And, you know, you're then putting, as you said, you're seeing these bottles around in these areas that's creating, you know, there's a problem there, but it really does start to affect the wider community.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And this is something that people really do need to be taking into account. So we have one more comment from Carol. She says, Nicholas, I used, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Sterimar regularly, and I found it to be amazing. You cannot believe what can come out of my nose after a few days of use. I can breathe once again, from Carol.
So, absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay. So is that a decent nasal flush?
Yes, that is a decent nasal flush. Yeah. Okay. There are your other options, which contain xylitol, which helps control bacterial populations in the sinuses as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is something for me. My favorite place to do that is the tidal pool in Hermanus. Get my head under, get some good salt water in there, and there we go. Find that always helps.
I prefer Sedwana Bay.
Okay, fair enough. It's warmer, 11 degrees in Hermanus. So if we, because I think for the next segment, we want to move on to the immunization and so on that we need to look at. We just touch on some of the over-the-counter stuff that's been of a bit of a concern in terms of people abusing it, and for teenagers going away on holiday and going to nightclubs and to bars and so on, where they might be taken advantage of.
Yes.
What are some of those the products that you should be aware of?
The main area of concern is an eye drop, which has the potential to be used as a in inverted commas, day trape drug.
Right.
And it's very easy to carry that and mm-hmm. have a squirt of it into a drink, bit of distraction.
Yes.
Our children are going away, they're matriculating, they're going to rage, mm-hmm. going to big parties. Things do get out of hand. If that is added to a drink, it would add a bitterish taste.
Okay.
However, if you've had a couple,
yeah,
the senses are a bit dulled and one thing can lead to the other.
Right.
And I'm surprised that there is not more societal awareness of, I'll name the brand, it's Safa Bleu,
mm-hmm.
because quite often the people that come in to buy it, and we can't be judgmental openly, but
mm-hmm.
I see red flags.
Yes. Right. That's something that may even security needs to be made aware of, yeah. this, to search for
it. Yes. Yes.
And to
there was a period where nightclubs were searching patrons, but mm. I mean, how do you search for a 10ml bottle?
Bottle, right.
I mean, you can conceal that so easily.
Yes.
Yeah, so our children and ourselves in social environments mm-hmm. need to be aware of who's handing us a drink and
who's not around our drinks.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. if we have to step out, we have to be aware,
yeah.
of what potential might happen to that drink if it is left unwatched.
Because there are unfortunately people out there with bad intentions, and these are great opportunities, these times and places, to go and hang out.
Yes.
If we're going to places that we're not familiar with, that we don't know the regular crowds, we don't know if someone is a regular or not. And that's another advantage for them. As you mentioned, when you're drinking, every time you have a drink, you're lowering your senses, you're lowering your awareness.
Your defenses.
Yes. And your ability to react if you feel something yes. is happening. So with this drug, what is the effect time for it to take effect?
It's very quick. Mm-hmm. If it's added to alcohol, there's a multiplier effect. Both drugs taken, alcohol and nifazoline, if taken orally,
mm-hmm.
are sedative.
Right.
They're central nervous system depressants. So if you add them together, it's a multiplying effect. They potentiate each other's effect.
Okay. So I mean, it would be a 5 minute, 10 minute, or even less.
It's very quick.
Okay.
I mean, alcohol is absorbed yep. very quick through the stomach. It depends what's in your stomach, food wise.
Right.
So potentially, it could be slowed down if you've eaten.
Okay.
However, there's generally not a lot of eating around drinking.
Yeah. So maybe do the good Jewish thing, eat.
Es mein Kind.
But it just, make sure that you maybe in your group have someone who's not drinking. Have someone that you can go to if you're not feeling well. These are the things. Make sure that you're not doing this alone, because the risks and the threats are very, very real. And, as you said, it comes on quickly. I think something for parents as well to discuss with their kids. We all want to go out. We all want to have fun. But these risks, if you're not able to protect yourself, if you're not able to remember what happened, then you're not able to, you shouldn't really be going into an environment just with focusing on fun. You need to focus on self-protection.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah. And because it's not something that we can see where these medications can be, schedule 5 all of a sudden. They're out there, and people unfortunately will abuse them. And I think the last time we chatted about this, the use has increased, because of the control of other medications such as Rohypnol and
yes,
so on.
Yes, that is correct. Right. Yes.
So, but it's still giving the would-be perpetrators the opportunity to take advantage of people, and it can't be stressed enough at this time of year.
Quite right.
That we need to look out for that. So. Just moving on to our next point, just before we go to ads, want to just quickly touch on, before we go into it, immunization for travel and what are the medications to take on summer holidays. And, are there other medications we should be taking? We've had Dr. Nigel Plummer on the show a couple of times chatting about Proven and probiotics, something just to boost your the strength of your gut and your tummy, maybe sort of a good sinus flush, those type of things. But let's chat quickly about immunization and travel.
Yes. I thought we were doing the ad break now.
No. I'm waiting. That only happens when Craig waves at me.
Okay.
So he's in charge. I just work here.
If you're traveling, there are some countries have lists of required vaccines.
Right.
Most of which are available locally in our clinics. The most important to focus on, even if it isn't a requirement of that country, if you're traveling particularly to the east, is your hepatitis vaccines.
Right.
Hepatitis A and B.
Okay.
Hepatitis A single shot is going to give you immunity. Hepatitis B, you need 3 consecutive shots, 1 month, 3 months, and 6 months apart.
Right.
However, after the first dose, you do have some protection. And after your 6 month shot, it is advisable after 5 years to go have a test, an antibody test, to check if you need a top up.
Okay.
And that was my experience, not so about 4 years ago.
Right.
I discovered that I had no immunity. So I went for a top-up series, yes.
Okay. I'm looking forward to chatting about that when we're back from our ad break. If you would like to ask any questions with regards to immunization and your vaccines before travel, let us have your questions on 061-895-1019. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and Dave, you're proof of this, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. I'm joined in studio by David Kahn, dispensary manager at the Dis-Chem in Linksfield. David, we've been chatting now about immunization and vaccination for travel. What I love about the show and what I love about hosting the show is I learn stuff all the time. I wasn't even aware about the protocols for the hepatitis A and B shots. And so I think this is just a point I'd like to make. Go into Dis-Chem, chat to your pharmacist. They're a wealth of knowledge. And find out if you're traveling to somewhere, what do you need to do? I mean, are there any shots we should be taking for travel within South Africa?
People coming into South Africa are recommended to take cholera vaccine,
right,
which is an oral vaccine, and that requires 3 mL dosing twice, once and then repeated after 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's for South Africa and Zimbabwe. There's sure. recommendation for that. If you're going rural travel, I would strongly advise rabies vaccines.
Right.
It can be used post-event to give you protection, just like a... my brain is really not functioning today. tetanus.
Yes.
Tetanus can also be given post-event to give protection. Rabies requires 3 shots as well.
Okay.
As a load up of your immune system.
Right.
So that's also, it's a potentially life-threatening conditions to have. So yes. It is worth having that.
And getting that sorted out.
Yes.
And there's no real risk in having these done beforehand.
No. If a person had, well, the base of vaccines has improved over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So your allergens that used to be present are very much reduced.
Right.
And if there is any allergic reaction, it can be taken care of. You're still right. going to end up coming out with immunity.
Which is what you're after. Yes. I think you're speaking and of going into... Oh, sorry.
And yep. our clinics are equipped for emergencies. Mm-hmm. We may not give an injection without having an emergency kit.
Okay.
And the protocols and the training.
That's such a good point, and I'd like to touch on that as well. We also spoke last week to Prof. Bloomberg about rabies in seals. So going to the coast is something we you should maybe also consider with that travel.
I didn't hear that show.
Yeah, okay. That's the rabid seals, the South African coastline, is something that we're having to deal with now.
Okay. I know 2-3 years ago there was a massive disease decimating the seal populations of the Western Cape. We were down there. It was horrific to see.
Absolutely. So don't go near the seal carcasses. Don't go near live seals. They're all wild animals.
Yes.
Stay away. So for international travel, what should we be looking at?
Mostly your hepatitis shots. Some countries do require yellow fever. You'll find the list on the WHO website of specific countries where it is required, and it is possible to have those vaccines as late as 2 weeks before travel.
Okay.
So you're safe.
And you do need to show the documentation.
Certain countries do require it, yes.
What would the process be for coming into the pharmacy, into the clinic, and to have your vaccines?
To pre-book
and
pre-order. It's not something that, yellow fever is something we don't keep in the fridge for daily use. But when we do require it, it takes 2-3 days to get it in for you.
So just get in touch with
the conversation, plan ahead. Just like getting advanced supplies of your medicine out of your medical aid.
Yes.
You can't organize that a day before travel.
Right.
And particularly at this time of year, the planning requires at least a week.
Okay.
And if it's for a long period of time, 3-6 months, in certain instances, we don't carry more than 2 or 3 packs of a particular drug on the shelf. And if we need 6 months supply, we can't get it today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as the professor was saying last week as well, empowered patients. It's patients' responsibilities.
Yes.
Be empowered. Be proactive.
Yes. We have rights and responsibilities in everything we do in life.
Absolutely.
And our health and managing the scheduling of our repeat prescriptions. We've got devices that do everything for us. Why not plug in a reminder?
Yes.
That I've got my new prescription today. I'm going to need to think about another one in 5 months' time.
And put the reminder for you. Ping. Absolutely. Get a ping. Yeah. We have a question from a listener. How safe is having B12 injections? And then in brackets, I haven't been eating well because of acid reflux, and how often should one be having them? So I'm not sure if there's a correlation between the two.
B12. As we age, our capacity to absorb B12 can decrease. However, B12 injections are normally a quick fix.
Right.
And ultimately, the healthiest long-term way to get your B12 is via your diet or via supplementation, such as Neurobion tablets, which is a high-potency B12 combination. Injecting is safe. It's just bypassing your gut. And the B12 does complement your gut health. It feeds into your bioflora.
Right.
So if you're denying your gut that, you're topping it up, but the wrong way.
Okay.
And it is safe to have it done. It's not safe to be injecting yourself if you're unskilled. To give yourself a deep intramuscular injection is not easy to do it yourself. And it was brought up to a Schedule 3 a few years ago because there was a huge self-use issue developing.
You don't want to be
country.
Hitting that sciatic nerve in your glutes.
Exactly.
Your roots. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's technique in giving an intramuscular injection. You can end up giving an intravenous injection if you don't do it right.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So come into the clinic.
Correct.
100%. Just before we go to ad break, Carol asked a question about when is the best time to take a probiotic. And I think it was the discussion was with Dr. Plummer. Just take it with food. So you have a little bit of food to address the acid in the tummy when you take your probiotic.
Take it with food.
Mm.
If it is related to, if it's coinciding with an antibiotic course, certain probiotics can be swallowed at the precise time as the antibiotic.
Okay.
They are protected in the gut. They're not affected by the antibiotic. So there's no neutralizing effect. But generally, with the bulk of the the majority of the probiotic range that is available, if you are taking an antibiotic, take your probiotic at least half an hour to an hour after.
Okay.
Some antibiotics are once a day. You can take it right at the other end of the day.
Okay.
And then you're getting a better top-up of your probiotic cultures. And it's important to take it post-antibiotic therapy. A lot of the prescribers prescribe a coinciding treatment of probiotic with the antibiotic. I always say take it for a week after at least to restore your culture after you've stopped nuking it with an antibiotic.
Get that gut health back.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right, let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. I'm joined in studio by dispensary manager at Dis-Chem Linksfield, David Kahn. We've been chatting abuse of over-the-counter medication and immunization. Just as we wrap up, David, let's touch on malaria.
Obviously, malaria is a potential problem for people visiting those areas like Kruger Park this time of year. From August, when the rains begin, prophylaxis is available, and the pediatric doses are currently not available for what used to be called Malinol. The only brand that's available is Mozitec. We can cut the tablets down in size to accommodate pediatric dosing.
Okay.
I insist that my staff cut it for our patients.
The cutting's done by...
Yes, yeah. Because it's not the easiest tablet to cut. Mm-hmm. So we satisfy that need. On top of taking a prophylactic tablet, it's important to use your repellents, not wear fancy-smelling perfumes, fragrances, particularly dawn and dusk time is your high-risk time. Spray your Tabard or your Peaceful Sleep. Use the stick. Just abuse it.
Abuse
your repellents.
Yes, yeah. Abuse your repellents.
And just remember that when you return from any holiday in any area where there is malaria, if you develop any cold, stroke, flu symptoms, it's important to run two consecutive malaria tests. They are available over the counter. Yes. One, unless the first one's positive, then you don't retest. But do one and then do one another 3 days later.
Right.
Because your malaria parasite builds up in cycles. It has breeding cycles. So there's times when it's very present in the bloodstream and times when it's not.
Okay.
So that's critically important. It's very easy to do a self-test. It does involve a needle prick, but the kits come fully equipped.
Okay.
And if you're queasy, ask our clinic to help you. They will.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave, for coming in. It was awesome to chat to you again. We're looking forward to having you back.
I want to add one more point. Another drug that can be used as malaria prophylaxis is your doxycycline, which is a tetracycline antibiotic. Sometimes people are using that to treat skin conditions as a chronic once-a-day dose. In that instance, they don't need to take malaria prophylaxis.
Okay.
So doxycycline, cyclomycin, and tetralysyl A. If you're on those treatments from a dermatologist and you're visiting the Kruger, you're covered.
Okay. Fantastic. But again, if in doubt, ask your pharmacist.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you, David. Thank you for joining us today on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. My name's Nicholas Ingle, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.